Gone are the rains of April, gone the cruel cold. Old man winter has departed, stories have been told. It's another May Day come again, goodbye to the rains of April. Another May Day come again, and we dance around the maypole. Welcome in the wonder this spring and the oncoming summer, the festival of Beltane and the nectar of the lover. It's the holiday of pagans and the holiday of labor. We merry meet in the mountains. Praise the Creator. Around the maypole.
Blessed Be. That was my pal Casey Neal with one of my favorite songs of his, May Day. And yes, indeed, folks, it will be May Day. Beltane, the time to light the fires and leap high and enjoy oneself, is coming up this Sunday. Or perhaps you prefer Lunar Beltane. That's going to be Saturday, May 13th with the full moon in Scorpio. Arr!
And you gotta love that, don't you?
Yes, indeed.
I gotta love that.
I certainly do.
I love Casey Neal. And as we were listening, I once again marveled at his genius in his rhyming scheme.
We were just discussing him, and I was just discussing how the last time I saw Casey, I said, "Casey, so why haven't you moved back to Portland yet?" And he's like, he kind of hung his head. He said, "I'm thinking about it." So, Casey, if you're out there, think harder. Come back.
Copulation. Smash the state of the nation.
You gotta like that. Love that.
Morning, I'm Ani.
I'm Melody.
And we are here, positively revolting as ever. And we are hoping that you are too.
Yes, indeed. And if you're not, then we have a wonderful guest this morning who's going to help you get in the mood to go out there and revolt and do a little state smashing of your own and a little happy world building. But first, I've got a couple of announcements. Speaking of May Day, this is all about May Day. Jobs with Justice is, of course, having an International Workers Day March on Monday. That's May Day. And it's the thing to do. Come on down. And so what's going on is that at 11, there's going to be a rally. And noon is going to be a march. And this is going to be in the South Park Blocks near PSU. So that's the deal.
South Park Blocks at 11 o'clock then. That's the South Park Blocks at 11 o'clock.
On Monday.
With a march at noon. And that's for workers' rights. And guess what else is happening on Monday? Monday is a national day of strike.
Yes, it is.
And I cannot tell. I mean, it's just like I'm so, first of all, I'm so heartened and I'm so excited. And I'm so, well, shall we say, trying to get the word around for solidarity. National Day of Strike on Monday, supporting immigrants' rights. Very important. Extremely important.
Well, you know, if you think that immigrants don't have rights, just think about that Niemöller quote for a while and then take two aspirin and call us in the morning.
Right. I was going to say, because it is time to practice solidarity like our lives depend on it, because, in fact, they do. And so National Day of Strike, and to go along with that and the fine Jobs with Justice action, all at the same time, wrapping it up, putting a ribbon on it, KBOO, your very own community radio station, will be preempting just about all programming on Monday, starting really early in the morning, ending fairly late. It's 14 hours of special May Day immigrants' rights informational programming that is being put together in about 1 week's time by an amazing group of volunteers who are really just running with this and coordinating with other radio stations who are covering their very own immigrants' rights actions in their cities to try to get us a national picture of what is happening on May Day. Very important. Remember, May Day commemorates the massacre at Haymarket.
It does.
You know, we have history in the struggle, and the struggle continues. So be with each other. Solidarity. Right on.
Okay. The second announcement is Growing Peace in Central America. Learn about the project supported by the Foundation for Self-Sufficiency in Central America to bring peace and self-sufficiency to rural communities in El Salvador, known as La Zona de la Paz. And come welcome Chincho Alas, founder, and meet new executive director Ike Trevino at a fundraiser to continue assisting people to develop the ability to provide for themselves. That's going to be Sunday, 6 to 8:30 p.m., the St. Andrews Community Center. That's at 806 Northeast Alberta. I can't even talk this morning. There's going to be music, food, and art from El Salvador, and there's a sliding scale donation at the door. Help us raise money for two Salvadoran art students to come and study art in Portland. This is PCASC organizing this. And if you need more info, their number is 503-236-7916. So, there you have it. And now, on with our wonderful show. And our lovely guest this morning is Faye Petrakowski, who is a KBOO volunteer and a woman who talks to animals.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here.
Yes, indeed. And we're very pleased to have you here, especially on Beltane, because, you know, animals are still far more a part of the natural world as they have always been, even the domesticated ones, than we are, who have had the pretensions to climb out of our niche, and now we're lost, wandering the plane of confusion somewhere.
Although, you know, Daniel Quinn makes the point that because we are, well, animals, because we are, organic beings, you know, we can never escape the natural world because we are the natural world.
No, of course not. But, I mean, we think that we're something beyond or different.
We
or
tell
more,
ourselves
and,
really
yes,
pretty stories.
Yes, we do. But, you know, many of us have significant connections with animals in our lives. And I, for one, often ask my cat in an exasperated tone, "What the heck are you think you're doing?" And she just looks at me and she goes, "Meow," which is not terribly informative. Although I know she's cussing me out.
But I was going to say, I think she's continuing the conversation you start. Because I think when we swear at animals, they understand. Wouldn't you say, Faye?
I wasn't swearing at her, exactly. Just getting a little irate.
But I think what's so funny is we assume, like, particularly that small animals don't think big, or they don't process it because they're small.
Well, people always say, "Oh, they have a brain the size of a peanut." Well, that may be true, but it's a pretty powerful brain.
Well, and it says a lot about how much of our brain we use.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, there's a dog out, a little terrier in Lake Oswego who knows about 75 words. The woman he lives with will say, "Let's go to Uncle So-and-so," and he'll run down the block. He knows what McDonald's is. He plays a game with her, pretending not to like his food when her mother takes care of him during the day. And she said, "Do you want to go to McDonald's?" And Simon, and he goes to the door, he goes to McDonald's, has a hamburger, comes home, eats his food, so it looks like he has not been out to McDonald's. I mean, he concocts all that in that little mind of a little terrier.
Absolutely.
So funny.
Dogs, they can be devious, those dogs.
Well, and we've all heard stories. I'm sure there's, you know, you see them on the news sometimes about, you know, a pet, whatever, parrot, cat, rat, you name it, rescues its human from a burning house or something by getting its attention. And, I mean, you know, animals obviously have a lot more awareness than we give them credit for.
And, you know, I think sometimes, like, there have been stories of, like, a hamster rattling a cage and having a fire, or somebody actually, somewhere as a Belmont, some apartments were on fire, and a man retired in the 60s or 70s running back in to get his baby, who happens to be a guinea pig. And sometimes we're embarrassed by that, which is real. Instead of enjoying it for its sweetness,
right,
you know, people go, "Oh, my, you know, you're attached to a guinea pig or a hamster."
Right. Right. But, you know, I mean, this to me, and the reason why I was excited to have you on actually today is because it really does get back to the fact that May Day is a time that we celebrate connections of the heart, and we really renew ourselves for, you know, this is the gathering of high energy. And,
yes,
you know, it's time to delight in the natural world around us. It's time to delight and really realize that all beings have spirit.
And if you can't delight in the natural world at this time of year, then something's broken inside you irretrievably.
And, you know, we expect to do that with trees and flowers and hawks and walks and hikes, but I don't know sometimes that people look at their animals and you really realize their spirit, other than that they're this furry, cute being or a companion. But I don't think people take it off into that next step. And so it's like enjoying a drink, and you can enjoy something to the next level, whether it's coffee or wine or, you know, a new tea. And I think that's kind of what you hope for people.
Right, right, that they actually allow themselves to take in this wonderful companion, this wonderful spirit that's sharing their lives.
Well, and I think a lot of us, you know, even if you don't have a pet, you know, a lot of us aspire to some of the things that animals exhibit in life, that we wish that we could be more like them. And even people who don't really like animals a lot of times wish they could be, you know, have some of the qualities of, you know, say a lion or a hawk, or, you know, they wish they could fly or whatever. And I think that that's the, you know, the sane part of us yearning for more, you know, that when we're in this really basically a very unnatural lifestyle that we live in this modern society, that the part of us is always seeking connection, you know, and that's one of the reasons we have pets, I think, because, you know, we're seeking to touch that's something that we feel we've lost, or maybe we're not in contact with it inside of ourselves.
And I think sometimes people, I don't know if it's conscious on a lot of people's part, but they look for their animal companions to ground them. And I don't think for a lot of people they are aware of that, but it's they come home.
That's very true.
And the animal's there, you know, it listens. You know, it's stable, you know, it's most of the time.
First thing I do,
and if not, call someone like you.
Yes. First thing I do when I come home is once I get in, close the door, put my stuff down, and, you know, pick up the cat, give her a cuddle, you know. We say hi to each other, and, you know, she comes running. She expects that, you know. She expects to get picked up and kissed and hugged for a second, and then she, you know, she's happy to get down and run around. But, you know, that's just, she needs to be acknowledged that, hey, you're home. I'm glad you're here. I've been taking care of the house for you while you were gone, you know.
Well, and they also have a connection to the world, you know, the spirit world, the world we don't see. And I think we're more comfortable, many people, not all of us certainly, saying, you know, my cat or dog stares, there must be something there that we don't see, then mm-hmm. I stare, and that's okay.
Well, you know, in my internet forum, we have quite an extensive cat thread. And we have this whole thing where, you know, people will come in and they'll say, oh, gosh, poor little, you know, Fifi's not feeling well today. I have to take her to the vet. And everybody will. And so we have this, I don't even know how it got started, but this tradition that, you know, what cat loafing is, when the cat curls its paws under and looks like a loaf of bread. And so we have this sort of tradition that people say, oh, yeah, so-and-so, my cat, is cat loafing for your cat. And, you know, damn if it doesn't seem to work, though. You know, everybody will say, oh, yeah, well, my cats are all loafing for, you know, your cat. And the next day someone comes back and says, oh, the cat's fine. Bet you there's nothing wrong with her. And, you know, it's really amazing. I think that cats, it's weird, like through the Internet, these cats are all connected through us and through the Internet to each other. And we joke about them when they're looking at something that's not there. We joke about it being like a messenger from the mothership, the cat mothership. You know, they're all like, you know, like beings from another planet that are going to, like, you know, take over the world or something.
And, you know, they seem to cross boundaries of time and space. I'll never forget one of my first lessons in that was, and animals certainly teach us lots of lessons, is there was somebody I knew that was here with her sister who was sick with cancer, and she had a cat in Israel. And when she would go to bed at night, she would allow her sister's cat, Timmy, to sleep with her. And every time in Israel that happened, the same night, her cat in Israel, Mr. Kuczynski, would walk from her mother's house, cross a freeway to find this woman whose name was Klee's apartment. And she was worried because she didn't want the animal, obviously, hurt or injured. So I said to her, why don't you not let Timmy, the cat, here in the room at night and see what happens? And sure enough, Mr. Kuczynski stopped doing that. Now, how does that happen? Who knows?
Well, you know, I certainly have had the experience more than once. Not recently, but years ago when I owned a house over on Yamhill, I had a cat, and she liked to be outside at night. And so in the middle of the night, I'd wake up, something would wake me up, and I'd be awake. Not half awake, fully awake, laying there on the bed. And you know how when a cat jumps up on the bed, there's kind of this little, like, initial kind of, like, on the bed. And right. Then you can feel the little footprints kind of, you know, coming closer and closer. Well, I'd be laying there, and I'd feel that on the bed and the feet coming closer, but the cat was outside.
Interesting.
Happened more than once.
And you're not the only one.
You know, my boyfriend at the time told me that he used to see a ghost cat out of the corner of his eye there. So who knows? You know, maybe there was a ghost cat living in that house and it was coming to visit.
There's all kinds of stories like that. And, you know, I wish that we would get to the place where we would experience that and just really be okay with that, more of us would, because it enriches our life. That's just another aspect. The world that we don't see often is so much bigger than what's physically around us. And animals are very natural. They stare. They're not embarrassed. They accept that.
Well, we actually have a caller. I am seeing getting the one-finger salute, the polite kind, from my engineer. For those of you who don't have that number tattooed on the inside of your eyeballs, let me tell you, it is 503-231-8187. This is a call-in show. This is Positively Revolting Talk Radio, and we're here with our guest, Faye Petrikowski, who is a woman who communes with the animal world, and you're actually writing a book about this.
I am.
It's very exciting. I want to hear more about that. But let's talk to our caller. You're on the air.
Hello. I don't know if anybody can respond to this or not, but I'm curious about something. Say a person has a house, and there are mice inside of it, and once in a while the dog in the house stops a couple of them. Is it possible to do a ceremony or something like that, or use herbs to and ask them to go back, or at least stay out of the house, and go and stay in their own habitat? Is it possible to do something like that without using, you know, I'm thinking about not using traps or poison or anything like that, but doing a natural way of something like that? I don't know if anybody has any understanding or experience.
That's a good question.
That's a really
anyway,
good
I'll just hang up.
You know, I haven't tried it myself, but I have heard at least two situations. One involved ants, and the other involved something in a garden, and it was, we need you to leave. We don't want to put down chemicals.
Mm-hmm.
And the ants disappeared, and there was some animal, and it was, I believe it was Arizona, and I don't know. She said, we don't want to have anybody come out and harm you. And I forgot what it was, and they left.
Well, you know, ants are pretty amenable. Like, for example, I discovered by accident the perfect way to get ants out of your kitchen. You take a peep. Yes, a peep. Those marshmallow things people eat on Easter, and put it outside, and they love those so much they'll never come in your kitchen again. But on the other hand, I used to go to camp every year in British Columbia, and the mosquitoes up there are fierce. And there was 100 of us at camp, and we were tired of having our blood sucked, and we were all witches. We tried all kinds of magical rituals alone and in concert, in addition to all kinds of, you know, deterrents. It didn't work. So either mosquitoes are just not amenable to that kind of thing, whereas other insects might be, or, you know, I don't know. It just didn't help a bit. So
I think it has to be your intention. The other thing of that is, the ants or the animals or whoever it is you'd like to leave or change their behavior, they have to be amenable. Oftentimes people call and say, well, can't you just tell him to stop barking, or can't you just tell her we want her to use a litter box? And, you know, sometimes they have a reason for doing that, and they may be trying to get your attention, or maybe they hear you and say, you know, why should I believe you? You tell me I'm going to stay home, you're going off to travel, you always take me, and now you tell me I can't go with you, think I'm going to listen to you? So I think it's complex. It's worth a try.
Of course.
Watch your intentions with it.
Well, of course, and also, you know, animals have free will, and they may not want to go along with. Obviously, with the mosquitoes, we were asking them not to eat, not to suck our blood. So, you know, that's a little bit different than asking the ants to go to someone else's garden.
Right.
So we have another caller. Let's go ahead and take that person now. You're on the air, caller.
Is that me?
Yes.
Oh, hi. I have, well, two things. One, on the mice, there are little humane mice traps that you can use. They're like little houses, little plastic houses. You put a cracker with peanut butter or something in there to encourage the mice to go in, and then you can just carry the little house outside and either wait for the mice to chew through the cracker or just remove it and they can go elsewhere. And if anyone wants to know how to get those, I could give my number off the air. They're not very expensive. In fact, the little tiny ones, there's another kind that work. They're just a couple of bucks. The ones that look like little houses are more like 10. But anyway, and then what I'm really calling primarily about is I'm taking care of a dog, and I don't know if your guest actually does, you know, like psychic readings with animals, but I'm taking care of a dog who lost his leg this week through trauma. He was amputated.
Oh.
And I'm just trying to get some insight. He's a foster dog. I'm trying to get some insight into where he is, because he's a very disconnected fellow. He doesn't seem to respond to people, other animals. He is eating, but in order to get him to go outside to go potty, we're carrying him, and he just seems to be completely withdrawn. I understand he was someone like this before the amputation, but it's escalated, and I don't know how much of it is pain, how much of it is grieving his leg, and how much of it is just him.
I think it sounds like he's depressed.
What's this dog's name?
Max.
And how old is he?
We think he could be about 7.
Do you know how many homes Max has had?
At least, well, this is the foster home. This is temporary. At least 2 others, but maybe more than that.
Okay, well, that makes sense. He's feeling... So, okay, the way animals work, the way I talk with them is they often telepathically talk to me. He's grieving, and there's been too much shuffling around in his life, literally, so he's confused, and he's also feeling alone.
And he's trying to be alone. Like,
well, yeah, you know. And he doesn't want, he wants you to back off and, you know, and give him some space to heal. I would apologize to him, and that sounds silly. You do it literally and mentally. You send him a message, whatever that looks like, apology would look like to you, and give him lots of space. Because when animals are moved, you know, they're given up from one home to the next, it's a betrayal. You love me, and then you dump me. So now he's been dumped several times. He's moved again, and he's lost a limb. And so he feels very vulnerable on top of all of it. So the more you fuss and the closer you get in literally to his space, the more he wants to be left alone.
Okay.
And there's a tone. Is there more? How many people in your house?
Well, there's five. Three children and two adults.
Somebody's got a high-pitched voice they're using when they talk with him. Somebody speaks in a voice to him that makes him literally cringe.
Okay.
It's piercing to his ears.
Okay.
So you want a more monotone, slow down, and give him lots of space. He needs food, and he's okay with that, but he wants to come out of his shell on his own without being pushed.
Okay.
Hope that's helpful.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. Yes.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, it's almost 8:01 in the morning, everybody. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. This is Positively Revolting Talk Radio. I'm Melody, and my lovely co-host, Ani, and I have our guest here, Faye Petrakowski, who is pet psychic, and is soon to be Beltane, the time when the bale fires are lit on the hillsides to celebrate the upwelling of natural energy and the greening of the year and all those wonderful juices
fecundity,
are flowing.
I believe
the time when people copulate in the furrows.
Yeah, I believe, you know, traditionally the rhyme.
Yes.
You know, hooray, hooray, the 1st of May, outdoor, fill in your blank here begins today. Okay, so we also, I just want to point out, May Day. It's Beltane. It's, you know, a wondrous pagan Wiccan tradition. It's a tradition of many folks around the world, actually, from many different paths. We recognize this time of year as the greening, as the springing, as, of course, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere. And also, on top of that, of course, it is the anniversary of the Haymarket Massacre. And this particular May Day, again, a special focus on immigrants' rights, as immigrants are workers too, and as we look at workers' rights and the taking back our lives on May Day, let's remember there are many things going on this May Day to support immigrants and workers in general. So, on KBOO, again, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., special programming pretty much all day long, and I want to let folks know a little bit about what they can hear. At 7 o'clock in the morning, you can hear an intro to the day with all the last minutes, sort of addendums and changes and this and that, sort of spelled out to you, as well as little bits from other radio stations about what they are planning for the day. All Monday will be pretty much bilingual. Most of Monday will be pretty much bilingual. The introduction will be in English and Spanish, and then we will have a panel discussion for an hour, panel talking in more depth about the issues being highlighted on May Day, such as the general strike, the economic boycott, immigrants' rights, and the impacts of free trade. Oh, look at that, and the impacts of free trade.
That was weird.
My coffee wiped out my microphone.
Shocking.
Well, no, thank God. It wasn't quite.
Shocking.
But there is a loose connection. Okay. Right. Guests on that panel include Dan Denver of Portland Central American Solidarity Committee, Maribel Gomez, and Romeo of Vos. There may be others. Eugene Johnson will read a poem right there around 8:30 or so. There are more things going on. I won't bother going through all 14 hours at this moment, but we will get back to giving you some more details. Rounding it out until 9 o'clock that morning, Vanessa Calderon will be reading highlights from the legislation bill number 4437 to give listeners more facts about what is actually going on and what the impacts of that draconian bill are. She will be reading in both English and Spanish. Vanessa's a wonderful new volunteer here at KBOO. 9 to 10 o'clock, we will put Democracy Now! On. They will also be looking at this momentous day in immigrants' rights and workers' rights. So that's 9 to 10 a.m. It's shifted from where it usually is, so Democracy Now! Fans, take note. There'll be check-ins with other radio stations around the country at that point, and then at 10:30, We go live to downtown Portland, where we will be broadcasting from the KBOO Reboo, making its reappearance. The KBOO Reboo is, in fact, a little red wagon. It's a radio flyer. Go figure. And it has a coffee can stuck on top of a PVC pole hooked to a motorcycle battery that actually has a small transmitter that you can tow about with you anywhere a couple miles from the station or so. And as long as you're not anywhere near the Max Tracks, is my experience, it works just great to get a signal from the street.
The Max Tracks is plays heck with
it's,
all
it
radio
certainly
transmissions.
Does. But there we are broadcasting from the radio flyer wagon from downtown Portland.
Sounds
as
exciting.
A rally gets underway. Lots and lots of stuff coming up. So
we have a caller, so let's go ahead. In case you'd like to be a caller and ask Faye Petrikowski a question or make a comment, 503-231-8187. So, caller, you're on the air. Caller? Hello, caller.
Hello.
There you
Hi.
Are.
Hi. You were talking about pets and cats and in the spiritual, maybe psychic kind of realm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an interesting experience a long time ago. I'm 48, when I was around 10. And it was me and some friends. It was a summer morning. We spent the night out in the backyard, so we got up right about the crack of dawn. It's about 6 in the morning. We're riding our bikes around the street for about an hour. And then we go to go back to the backyard, so we're walking in between the two houses to my backyard, and it's still like 6:30 in the morning. Nobody's up, and I hear a voice that says, "Good morning." And I'm right about at the backyard, and all my other friends are behind me, and there's not even a car on the street. It's just so early in the morning, and I look to where the voice was coming from, and it was a cat sitting on the fence between the two houses, and I caught, like, the end of it, "Good morning." And right when I'm looking towards the voice, you know, it's like coming from the cat, "Good morning." And I couldn't believe it. And I'm, you know, looking, just absolutely no one's around. You can't even hear a car for miles. And actually, a few months earlier, my younger brother had told me that he heard some people, he thought it was me under a car kind of joking. And he looked. He ran around the car. He thought maybe we were on the other side, and he couldn't see us. And he looked under the car and saw a cat. So I used to make fun of him, you know, because he heard a cat talking. And then
the cat talked to you.
Yeah, and then a couple months later, and it's like it could. And I'm like, I'm right in the backyard. I'm looking into right at the cat, right into the both backyard, and I'm catching the end of the "good morning." And it sounded even like a cat. "Good morning."
Did the other people hear it?
Yeah, because when I first started hearing it, I was kind of looking back at them as we're walking towards, and they hear a "good morning," and I see they start looking behind me like they heard the voice and they're trying to see who it was. So I turn around to see who it was, and I'm catching the end of it, and, you know, we're all four of us are looking at this cat on the fence, and I'm right there at the backyard, so I'm looking. Nobody's in the backyard. I go check my back door. It's still locked. Nobody's
right.
up yet. It was just incredible.
And, you know, that experience, I bet, has stayed with all of you, and I wonder how many times that story's been passed around.
Well, we're kind of scattered, and I've mentioned it to my brother. Well, my younger brother wasn't there the second time, but I told him, "Hey, I heard that cat." But my other friends, they're long gone, so I just hold on to this memory, and I don't know if they were as shocked as I was about it, because I was like, right there by the cat.
Well, I think it's a wonderful thing that, you know, I think we all have the ability to hear animals, but most of us have been told, you know, not to be foolish, that is suspect at best, you know, and that we really train ourselves not to, and we train ourselves to shut down from all around
for
us,
sure.
All
that psychic impulse. But also the scientific skeptic, could it be just the cat maybe learning how to mimic, you know, like a parrot or something, and knowing morning time, you know, and mimicking the words unconsciously, maybe.
I can't imagine a cat being able to actually speak or make human words.
Their little vocal boxes don't quite do
that. Yeah, it sounds to me more likely that it was a more of a psychic thing.
Like you're right.
Physical,
because
their lips were moving.
Out, like it was going meow, but it was the words, but we all heard it.
But, you know, that's part of the magic of having animals in our lives where they're, you know, we cage them or we don't cage them and they're out in the wilderness and their homes is... There's a mystery to it, and, you know, I've seen dogs do that, say words, and cats say out, but, you know, the one thing for skeptics they should feel good is there's not enough jail space. You don't have to worry today like you did, so feel a little free that nobody will dial 911 on you.
Yeah. That's right.
That's true.
Because we're not quite in the Inquisition
yet. Yes, and we closed the mental hospital, so you're
safe. There is something interesting, because I was the only one that really took it serious. I'm running back, checking the doors, kind of, and, you know, the neighbors' windows, they're all locked. And they kind of blew it off. And there is something interesting, because I have had some abilities where I've been caught up in a white light and reading minds, and my mind, where it seemed like I have a strong spirit or presence where I can actually even affect other people.
You probably do.
And I think, you know, now that you're saying that, being in tune, I really feel, because I've had a lot of real heavy experiences, and I'm thinking maybe, you know, my consciousness was more brighter, and it kind of translated through me, perhaps.
Go ahead.
You know, it's also possible that that cat actually said those words somehow, whatever way, to give you confidence,
right,
and to give you an experience that you couldn't deny,
mm-hmm,
and that probably or may very well have changed your life in some way.
And I have a question. Yeah. Did you say good morning back to the cat?
Well, yeah, because I was looking back at my friends, and it was starting to say, good morning, and they kind of, their eyes jolted, like, behind me, and kind of, I started to say, good. I started turning around to say, good morning again, good, and then I didn't see anybody, and I heard the end, and it's like, I didn't finish, but I was, starting to turn around and say, good morning.
Well, you know, you might want to look up a book in the library. It's a fairly older book now, but it has a lot of relevance to what you're talking about. It's by a man named Joseph Pierce. It's called The Magical Child, and basically his theorem in this book is that that children are born a lot more psychic than we think, and that we sort of, perhaps metaphorically or perhaps not, beat it out of them,
basically. I've had out-of-body experiences when I was being baptized and a lot of different things,
mm-hmm,
and even later in life I've had some amazing, it would take too long to explain them all. So, like, when you're saying that, communicating to a person, and then there are some people that I don't know the proper words, but that can, you know, that can get the energy focused into them, and then they can share it out to the rest, I guess.
Yes, very much so. Well, you may be one of those people. Thanks a lot for calling.
Okay, thank you.
And we've got some more callers on the line, so let's go ahead and take another one, shall we?
Sure.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. My girlfriend and I just adopted a dog, and she's an English Cocker Spaniel, at least 6 years old, maybe more. And I was just wondering if your guest could tell me if she could communicate with her and see if she could find out whether she's happy, if there's anything she wants us to know, and there's some type of connection between her and I would get along well, and I'm not sure what it is. I was wondering if maybe she knows.
What's the name of this Cocker Spaniel?
Bluebell.
And is that a name you gave the dog?
No, we traced the name. And I believe it was either the first half or the second half. I'm not sure which it was supposedly the original name.
Do you know, where did you get the dog?
From a shelter, but apparently she was a stray from, I think, either California or another state, and she came up to Oregon, and we got her from a private shelter.
Well, it's interesting that she now has a name with two syllables, and I say that because for some reason, dogs in particular, and cats as well, but particularly dogs, like the sound of two syllables. And I haven't quite experienced enough of this to know why, but it's somehow, I don't know if it's the sound of it. And I think that's a really good name, and I think that she feels she chose you, which is really typical. We think we choose them, but somehow I've seen people go to shelters that had no idea they were going to end up there, and the dogs choose them, whether they telepathically reach out or they do something to get your attention. So this animal is very happy. She thinks you're easy to work over, so I'll give you that heads up. And what you can do is assure her that you're not going to give her away. She's actually very thrilled. She should be delightful, but when this animal decides she doesn't want to do something, hard to negotiate with.
I totally see that in her personality.
And I mean hard to negotiate with. There's no bartering, no begging, no selling, nothing. But I think you've got a delightful animal there. She needs a lot of attention. Do you have other animals around?
Actually, we have 10 chickens, and she pretty much, she doesn't really deal with them very much. All she wants to do is play ball, and there's some connection with playing ball.
She doesn't want to share attention, and she thinks the chickens are ugly.
So, really?
And she's not, I don't think she wants a cat in. I don't know that this animal would do well with another animal unless you rescued it and tell her why you need another animal. Too many people bring another animal in without talking to the animal in the house, and the animal in the house, their feelings are hurt, and they're mad. If you love me, why do you need something else? Mm-hmm. So it's probably, you probably got your hands full there. You've got enough to take care of for a while. But I think she's delightful.
And what you alluded to earlier, does she think I'm a pushover? Is that what you're
saying? She thinks she can work you over, which tells me she's very skilled at manipulating, which, she's probably had to. She's been from home to home. I'd watch her eyes. I bet you she'll work you over really well with her eyes.
Cocker Spaniels are really good with those eyes anyway.
Yeah, they are. So she's already working you over.
She has beautiful eyes. And
She knows it, yeah.
There is some connection, but I'm not sure what it is. I mean, she's very, you're right, she doesn't like sharing attention with other animals. I can see that.
And, it's interesting, when we rescue animals, they're grateful the entire time they live with us. There's a gratitude, and it shows in their look and a smile or something, you'll say, oh, that looks like gratitude, and it is, because they understand it.
Okay, so how about, do you know, we're not sure she's like a mixed breed of Cocker Spaniel and something else, but we're not sure what it is. Would she know, or could you...
I'm really not good with that kind of thing, and oftentimes the animals don't. They're tired of people asking, what am I? So they're not likely to give me that. They don't think it's very important. In the sense, their spirit's important, and I agree with them. Their personality, how you get along with them, but who they are, what composes them is not very interesting to them.
Okay. So, is there he wants to tell me? Like, is there anything I need to know?
Don't control her. Let her personality blossom like a flower.
Okay. Well, I don't think I have a choice in that matter.
You don't, but sometimes we try anyway, so.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty laid back. I try to give her, her space when she wants it. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate your insight.
Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling this morning.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
503-231-8187 is the number to call if you want to join us on the air. And we are talking about Beltane, about May Day. We have Faye Petrikowski with us. She is an animal psychic person and a wonderful KABU volunteer, so she's right here in the community. We also were talking earlier about different books. Melody had mentioned The Magical Child. I wanted to throw out a book by Derek Jensen called A Language Older Than Words.
And very relevant.
It is sort of on the meta level of looking at how we really are robbed of our humanity as children in a number of different ways so that we are able to conform, fit in, and be a part of the grinding sort of mill that our culture has become,
well,
that
and of
we've
course,
created.
His conversation also dovetails nicely with what John Trudell has to say about how we have lost, we've been robbed of our birthright of being human beings, and that we no longer understand what it means to be a human being.
Right, and that's basically the premise of excuse me, a language older than words. And, you know, he really takes it from the very personal level where he's looking at child abuse and how he survived abuse by talking to animals and talking to the stars and listening when they tell him what's going on back. You know, it's like, you know, a lot of people talk to animals, but how many people listen to animals? That's a whole other thing. And when you're talking to an animal, are you really, you know, are you talking to them or are you just sort of projecting something onto them? And I think that those are things, they sound kind of trite, really, but they're really not.
No.
It's like, you know, you are sharing a life with a being. You might as well communicate. You might as well actually honor it for what it is.
You know, oh. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was just in Wisconsin and Madison doing some work, and they have a number of Native American burial sites. And those, you know, they're gone for many years, and those spirits are still talking.
Oh,
you know, they're
yes.
very angry about the abuse of the land.
Yes.
And I think people walk by them a lot. They offer the tobacco, but I don't know if they really listen because they see this mound, they see the grass growing over it, but they have a lot to say.
And the spirits, yes. those spirits don't just talk to other Native Americans either.
No.
And, you know, I think that we make a mistake of, oh, you know, if you go to Africa and leave offerings at some sacred site that only the African people are going to be talked to by those spirits. It doesn't work that way. Or, you know, only Celts will be talked to at Stonehenge if you go and, you know, honor the people there. That's just not, you know.
Spirit
world is not.
Spirits don't really deal with national boundaries.
No. And not only that, you know, I had an interesting experience. I had been told that there were about 100 of these burial sites in Madison. I went to the Historical Society and I talked to an archaeologist, and she looked at me and said, oh, no, there aren't 100. But I said, do you know how angry some of these spirits are? And she said to me, you know, my Native American friends tell me that. I said, well, I thought, well, what about the rest of us?
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
right. Like,
because I think they're desperate to talk to anybody.
They
else,
are.
And they're screaming.
They
just
are.
Like the cat and the dog that screams and then pees outside the litter box or in the
mm-hmm.
house because you're not listening. It's not
mm-hmm.
very different.
Well, we've got several people waiting to talk to us. It's 8:21. We'll be here till 9. And if you'd like to join this conversation, we're talking about animals and the natural world and a psychic connection to it. And it's going to be Beltane soon and May Day. 503-231-8187. So our next caller is now on the air. Welcome,
Hi.
Caller.
I really, really appreciated what the guest said about the dog with the three legs and needing to have space. And I've noticed that with animals that I've been given.
I'm sorry, can you go ahead and speak up? Your
yes.
The phone line is not so good.
We're having kind of a hummy connection.
Okay. I've noticed with animals that come to me, are given to me because I have a farm and have had different homes, and or the person who gives them to me doesn't even know their history, that they have, they want their space. And it takes a long time for them to trust that you want them and you're going to keep them and that they're actually at their ending point, their home point. And it's pretty amazing how smart animals are. I was given a horse that had been sold many times, and she had originally been a racehorse, and she'd always been used. So when she came to me, she was so unsure of where she was and who I was. It's taken a couple years, but now she's really relaxed. And but I gave her her space. I didn't try to own her.
Mm-hmm.
I just tried to make her feel at home. I did a barter when I was bicycling one day in the valley. I stopped and talked to the different farm people who have farms, and I'd seen a little Siamese cross the street, go to one house, and I had lost my Siamese. It had been poisoned. I think
oh.
it ate slug bait. I called all the neighbors, and one neighbor didn't respond really, like he hadn't put slug bait out. So I think it was slug bait. But anyway, I was really missing my Siamese cat. I had quite a connection. So I said to the lady, if ever, you know, if your cat ever has kittens, could I do a barter with you for the cat? If there's anything you need, she said, you know, I need 2 goat bucks to put in the back field, and if you want to barter for a kitten, if I get a kitten, if I get a Siamese kitten, she says this cat goes off and mates with who knows who, and I might not get Siamese. So anyway, a really long time went by. I almost forgot about the barter. And she came out one day and she said, she's had a litter of kittens and there's one Siamese. And as soon as it's weaned, you can have it. And it's a male. All the rest are female. So we waited until it was ready, went down. I scooped it up. It was in the process of playing with its sisters. Scooped it up, brought her the two goats, and brought it home to my giant, humongous, double-sized German Shepherd. He's about 185 pounds.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and
he's a pony.
His name is Eeyore, and he's exactly like his name. He's just this lovable. He is the calmest, gentlest dog. And I literally can't walk, and my house is really tiny because it's handmade. And I fall over him. He's huge. He has to, like, to turn, he has to back up
uh-huh.
and find an area that's big enough to turn in. But anyway, so I put the little kitten down, and he's really good with animals. And the kitten just started running at Eeyore and leaped up into the air and landed on his head and just started playing with him. Kitten was really little. And it's been that kind of relationship between those two ever since. I named the cat Bilbo Baggins because of his adventuresome ways. He owns the whole farm. He's the tiniest Siamese I've ever seen. He goes around. When I do my chores, he follows me everywhere. When I go
mm-hmm.
to work at night, he's there in the driveway in the morning, sitting, waiting for me to come home. And he's demanding, and he is just amazing. In fact, he's a member of KBOO.
I was going to say, he pledged during our show a couple weeks ago, if
he
I recall.
He is a member of KBOO. He's just amazing. The dog is tolerant of him. But the dog's just a whole different being.
Right.
He's the, I'll follow you anywhere, you know, walk off a cliff, I'm with you. But Bilbo Baggins does come when I do chores. He wants me to know he can do anything the dog can do.
Yes, I used to have a cat that would go on walks with me and my dog, and I was the talk of the neighborhood and didn't even realize it.
Yes.
It doesn't matter where I go, this cat goes with me. And it's pretty amazing. But all my animals,
I'm getting a lot of feedback from her.
Sorry, everything's off here.
It's not you.
It's in the phone line itself, I think.
I believe it. Anyway, I really felt I almost cried when you talked about the dog needing to have its space because animals need to trust. My goats don't need to trust. I've never seen an animal like goats. They're just totally. You know, you're not a goat, so go. You know, you can come, you can go, but, you know, you're not really one of us because you are obviously not a goat.
Right. They are no, so you don't have square pupils.
But the horses get really attached to people. My dog, my cat, my roosters, but not my chickens. You know, there's just some animals that want to get close and some that don't need you.
Well, then I'm almost wondering if that's different for different people because,
yeah.
You know, some people don't feel quite the connection, you know, with a cat or, you know, or a dog, but may feel it with a different type of animal.
Yeah, it depends on how many you have.
I think it just varies a whole lot. Some people don't believe animals can think.
Right.
You know, they can't get beyond the fur and the face.
I mean, I've never actually lived with goats, but every time I've been in an area with goats, the goats and I are inseparable.
Yep, you know,
very friendly.
If I had one or two or three, there'd probably be the dog-cat thing, but I have 37.
Oh, see, that's a little
and
different.
They are unto themselves
well, yeah.
An entity.
They've got their own peeps.
They've
yeah.
got their own world. They've got their own friends, their buddies, their pals. You know, I
totally.
Just, you know, I feed them,
society.
I milk them, and then I go away. You know, I don't spend the day in the pasture with them.
Right.
So, you know, but anyway.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thanks for your call.
I love animals.
Right on.
Yes. I figured you would call today.
You take care and happy Valentine's.
Bye-bye.
Oh, thanks. Bye.
Yes, indeed. And if you're just tuning in, we are doing a show today here on Positively Revolting Talk Radio about Beltane, which is coming up either on Sunday, the solar Beltane, or for those of you who are really traditionalist, the lunar Beltane is going to be at the full moon in Scorpio on, I believe it's Friday the 12th of May.
Well, and again, depending on how traditionalist and which tradition you're going for, many would say Beltane would be Monday. Some would say it's Sunday. And, of course, there's Walpurgisnacht.
Yes, indeed.
Which is Sunday.
And we're talking with Faye Petrukowski, a lovely KBOO volunteer who is also an animal psychic. And she's. I want to hear more about the book you're writing, Faye.
Well, it's coming along slowly as I work on my business. So it's, I'm finding it trouble balancing both. But I'm working on a chapter right now about grieving. And I'm working on, actually planning to do some interviews next week with people that work with animals who work through that process, because a lot of us don't like to admit it hurts to lose an animal.
Oh.
There's a lot of shame around that. And
I
know,
was so devastated when my cat got run over last year. I was devastated. I hadn't known her for very long, and she was just the best cat ever, and we had a total psychic connection. I let her burn through me with her eyeballs in the Humane Society from the cage. Take me home. Get me out of here. And it was so sad when she was squished. I was heartbroken.
And, you know, sometimes people, they bury that loss, and it's years later they're still talking about it. Or I've had people call me. They come in for a business or personal consultation. And, by the way, I want to talk about my animal. They're in tears. And I'm sorry. Excuse me. I'm embarrassed. You know, it's just an animal. But, you know, they're losing a family member, and there are more actually support groups developing around the country.
I think that's really important.
Well, we've got more callers.
Yeah, let's go ahead and give another listener a chance.
So, next caller, you're on the air.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Good.
How are you?
Pretty good. I had a little oral surgery yesterday, but otherwise I'm okay.
Hey, I got a crown imprinted on my recently root canaled tooth yesterday. Yesterday was dentist day.
So does that make you Princess Shawnee? Or?
Unfortunately, it's not my first crown.
No.
She has royalty.
I'm
going to need to be a royal to pay for the rest of the teeth fixing I need.
Oh, geez.
Jeepers, nothing like getting handed a $7,000 estimate for the rest of your mouth.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Okay, listen, I'm reading a very, very interesting book. It's called The Tao of Pooh.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Isn't that? It's incredible. I'm just loving every minute of it. All right. Now, you know, animals' cosmology of the world is through instinct and intuition. Ours is through intellect.
Sure.
Okay. How do you know this?
Animals live in harmony with the natural world, and we need to control the natural world.
We need to?
Yeah, we have this need to control. We're control freaks.
It certainly does. I mean, all evidence would appear that most of humankind in the last 500 years, 1,000 years, actually I'd say a goodly chunk of humankind for the last 2,000 to 3,000 years, I take it back, 10,000 years, agricultural revolution, have been trying to control the world.
I guess
natural
need is what I was wondering about.
You know, that's,
we've exhibited the behavior.
Yes.
And if you look at, I don't remember when, I was reading someplace where dogs became domesticated, and even horses, it was because we could use them for something. Right?
Mm-hmm. But then they say that cats domesticated themselves when we had the aforementioned agricultural revolution. That meant that we had grain stored around, and of course that attracted rodents, and then the cats came for the rodents, and we thought, hey, look, those cats are helpful. Let's let them stick around.
You know, I always think it must really gall them that they have to wait on us to open up their canned food. I mean, for an animal that's so darn independent,
you know,
they have to sit and have something put in the bowl. They can't go to the refrigerator or the bag themselves.
I have to say, though, I've had a thumb cat before, and I think that cats are developed. I mean, she practically could use her thumbs like an opposable digit, and I think that they're developing thumbs for a reason. They're going to take over the world. In a few thousand years, cats will be rulers and we'll be slaves. You heard it here first. So, LJ, back to the Tao of Pooh.
So, anyway, according to what Lao Tzu is saying, he says the more man interferes with the natural balance produced and governed by universal laws, the further away the harmony retreats into the distance, and the more forcing, the more trouble.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes sense,
mm-hmm.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you guys have a great day.
Thank you too.
Bye-bye.
So, once again, let me give you that number, 503-231-8187, if you'd like to ask a question of Faye Petrikowski, our lovely animal psychic who is joining us today. Or, of course, you might just want to comment on Beltane or May Day or, heck, you know, just about any topic related to those. So, let's go ahead to our next caller. And, caller, you're on the air.
Caller. Good morning.
Hello there. You there? Caller.
A quiet caller.
Well,
I don't hear you. Oh, there you are.
There they are now. Good morning.
I am. Yes. Well, Merry Beltane, first of all. And I think of it as a season, this Beltane
year
as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, and the time of Pan. But it seems like a wonderful time to be having this conversation about pets and animals. And I do have a question.
I bet you do.
Know that I have a little problem in my home with a teenage dog that's her name's Ginger, and she's a terrier and something else.
She looks like a Yorkie-ish sort of dog.
Yeah. And then I have an elderly cat, Teasel, who is almost 14, and, well, maybe she's more like 12, but she was very sick this winter, a life-threatening problem, and she had to, we nursed her back to health, my partner and I, but there's trouble between the two, and I don't want to interfere, but I do, and so I need some help sorting out the dynamics. Is kind of like a family thing, you know, and I just want to make another comment before I hear what you could say about that. There's a lot of research now about the mammalian brain and how it's essentially the same in all of us mammals. And it's also a part of recent research to understand that it's the right brain, the right hemisphere of the brain that develops first in our species, maybe all species, I don't know. But and that's the heart connection. So it's a connection that makes mothers and babies able to makes our species be able to happen. So I know that that's probably the side that we're connecting to pets with, but I'd love to hear your answers or your thoughts on this.
What kind of dog is Ginger?
Well, Ginger is, she was supposed to be a Yorkie poo when my partner got her. She's definitely got terrier in her. She has a stiff little body, and I thought maybe there was something neurologically wrong with her. In fact, she seems to do better when my partner gives her some, I think it's called amitriptyline that the vet recommended in very tiny doses. Okay. She seems a little mellower then, as though she almost needs a brain adjustment.
Well,
yes, go ahead.
And the cat's name is?
The cat is Teasel.
A Teasel, okay. Well, were both these animals adopted or rescued?
The cat was adopted. We have jokes that she was probably born on a barge because of her ornery ways.
Well, you've got... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, but we love her. We joke about her, but she's quite a character, or was in her earlier years.
And where did Ginger come from?
And Ginger came from a home in Northeast Portland where an older lady was raising Yorkie poos. And there were a lot of children around, and Ginger does miss children. We have no children in our home, but she does love children.
You know, you have 4th of July all the time there.
Yes.
Pretty much.
And you have two very strong personalities. So it's not like I don't see a balance there. And this is not the best mix, but you're stuck with it. So
yes.
I would just give it up to them and just bless them and say you two need to work it out, because I think if you add any fuel to this, it just makes it worse. I
appreciate that.
You can't say to Ginger very easily, I don't want you doing this, because Ginger likes to have the last word, and Teasel does too. So I think you'd say, we want a household where it's compatible. This is what we like, but we can't control you. We recognize that. And let them leave them alone.
That's not even mentioning the other dog in the mix, which is even more complicated.
Yeah, I didn't want to overburden you. He's sort of a sweet. He's also supposed to be a Yorkie poo, but we think he's more of a Lhasa poo. And he just sighs and wishes that Ginger wouldn't chew on his ear all the time and ruin his play. But he's sort of long-suffering and noble.
Yeah. Now, speaking as a former pet sitter for these creatures, I've observed this up close and personal. It's like a TV show.
Well, the truth is, you're never going to be bored. But you've got a mix that I don't see. You know, doggy downers? I mean, I don't know what you do. I would leave this alone and just say it's hands off. It's their spirits. Bless you all. Let's light some candles. This is what we like. Give me a laundry list and let it go.
Thank you so much.
There's not much to do with
it. The serenity prayer sounds like a useful here.
Serenity prayer. There you go.
Thanks for calling.
I knew there was a reason to brush out the serenity prayer now and again.
Frankly, Pei, I just want to say I'm shocked that you would even consider giving, that you would mention doggy.
Oh, no, I was joking. Yeah, really. But, you know, I had to throw it in for because I could see one of those dogs saying, God, give them something to come.
Well, sometimes those are really helpful. Like with people, sometimes medication's useful adjunct
but
to your life.
But what I don't like about them is people don't get at the issues, and that's the first thought. I don't really like them, period. Now, there may be time when nothing else works quickly, but the other problem is most of the food that we give these animals is so refined, it breaks down the carbs and sugar that you throw these chemicals and it makes it worse.
Sure.
Well, that's something that I wanted to ask you a little bit about, too, is, there's a lot of discussion going on in pet circles about there's this new raw food. Well, it's not really that new, but a renewed interest in raw food for your pets. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole regimen that you can get and, blah, blah, blah. And it doesn't seem right to feed your animal these dried up little pellets of something. Do pets resent like being fed dried things out of a bag?
I don't know that I've experienced with that, but what I see over and over, and I've talked to probably hundreds of dogs at Petco's and humane societies, and what I see is there's like if you took a crayon and rubbed red, there's an irritation in the intestinal area that may not show up on any test, but their system is weakened by the commercial food. And I see a movement where people are going more raw. They may start cooking lamb and rice, but they're going more to the natural state, and it makes sense to me.
Yes.
But I think it weakens them. And so I don't, most of them are addicted to the food, and they don't see past that to say, I want something raw. But some of them protest by not eating as much. But I think we're really doing them a disservice because it's convenient for us.
It's kind of like, I inherited a pack of teenagers. Not quite a pack of dogs, But, they have their own pack order and own society. They're beautiful. I love them all. But, again, when you have someone who has been primarily raised on processed foods that break down quickly into carbs and sugars with all kinds of bright colors and, artificial whatnots.
And perhaps the behavior changes that might come with eating those.
Sure. It weakens you. Physically, it wrecks your immune system. It messes with your energy levels, and you do get addicted to it.
And I think
so even when you're being presented with actual whole foods options, it's like, but it doesn't taste like super whatever, the Frito-Lay Cheetos super zesty chase.
And of course, sure the pet food companies spend a lot of money trying to make the pet want to eat the food, making it addictive tasting, so that, of course, the human will keep buying it. Well, we've got three folks waiting on hold, and I've got a couple of things I need to tell you first before we go to our next caller, so let's just rip through these. Coming up today on KBOO at 9, the Friday Radio Zine and Hunt Work of School of the Americas Watch. We'll talk about the state of the campaign to close the school and the upcoming Portland visit by Father Roy Bourgeois. At 9:30, Pair interviews Michael Newman of Trent University about the Israel lobby and U.S. foreign policy, a controversial article published this month. At 10, a lecture by Ruth Messenger of the American Jewish World Service. She'll speak on stopping genocide in Darfur, which really needs to happen. We'll also have an update on this weekend's rally to save Darfur. At 11, Democracy Now!, you'll hear a debate on the issue of peak oil with Julian Darley of the Post Carbon Institute and Michael Lynch of the Strategic Energy and Economic Research. And we'll hear a response from the Reverend Jesse Jackson about comments made by incoming press secretary, former Fox News commentator Tony Snowjob. Tony Snow. And don't forget that on Monday, May Day, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of immigrants are expected to stage a work strike.
Take
part in a one-day economic boycott to protest anti-immigrant legislation being considered before Congress. And, of course, KBOO will have a day of programs on human rights and immigrants from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m., as Ani already told you.
And I think I'd actually made it all the way down to... our live broadcast from downtown, that's going to be happening between 10:30 and 1:30, live broadcast from the Actions downtown. There's going to be an hour of music, Karen and Tito from Incursions Rockera. My accent is horrible.
It's Incursiones Rockera, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
It's early.
Not quite, but still. Karen and Tito will be here doing music for an hour, all evening long. Again, KBOO staying with the issues and staying with you. About 5 o'clock, an APA Compass segment will be airing. And we're wrapping up the day with a panel discussion somewhere starting in the 7:30 range, going to 9 o'clock.
Awesome.
There's a lot of flexibility in the schedule right now as people are producing pieces and coordinating with other radio stations to see what is happening there, and we can coordinatedly bring you this information on this amazing national day of protests and commemoration of May Day and struggle for workers' rights and immigrants' rights.
And now on to our patient callers. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Yes. I wanted to talk to your guest about my partner's dog, Bosco. Bosco is a little terrier, and he's a mystery to us right now. Something seems to be bothering him, and we can't really make out what it is. He has a very loud and piercing bark that he's been using quite often, and he's growling a lot. He's physically very sensitive to touch, and sometimes howls when you pick him up very gently and carefully, and has been attacking his brother, Oliver, who's the same kind of dog.
Mm.
Are there other animals in the house?
Nope, just those two.
You know, Oliver says he's being very patient with Bosco.
Yes, he is.
Thank
very
God,
patient.
Or your house would not be in one piece. But you know, Bosco isn't going to do this unless there's something wrong. He's not a showman. This is not his style. So I think there's something physically going on with him. He's not feeling well. And I suspect it's digestion related, which could be kind of... You know, it's a circle. You know, if he's upset, then the digestive juices don't work as well, and then physically he doesn't feel as well. I suspect that there's some change in your schedule, or you bring your work home and you think about it. It's probably not something you think about, but I'd have both of you go look back last 4 to 6 weeks and ask yourself what has changed in your life. And it could be you're worried about somebody, your schedules change, when you come home you're not giving him as much attention. I'd start talking to him more and apologize to him that he's so worked up. And tell him I'm making coffee, I'm doing this, just talk to him. When you leave home to go out in the world, I'd say I'll be back in such and such a time. When you leave work, wherever you're at, mentally beam him a picture of you coming home. But he's not doing this for the fun of it. And you think you're picking him up gently. He said you're not always so gentle. And he doesn't like it when either one of you pick him up and you're thinking about something else.
My partner thinks a lot and worries a lot, so that certainly makes sense.
Well, and he thinks he's a little bit put out with both of you that you haven't figured this out because it's obvious.
Well, I'm working on I'm working on my partner with that, and I'm not there very often.
He says, "Tell you be quicker with it."
Okay. All right, Bosco, I'll do what I can do.
I also would stay very calm around him. Leave your worries at the door. I think right now he really needs a lot of focused attention. And if you even go out to visit a friend, go out to dinner or something, and you tell him I'll be back and beam him, if you up the ante on the communication, you'll get, I think you'll see a change. And we probably should go on to the next caller.
Yes.
Thank you.
So thanks for calling.
Yes, bye-bye.
Good luck with that. Okay, next caller, you are on the air at KBOO on Positively Revolting Talk Radio. Hello? Caller?
Did we lose somebody?
Oh, caller, where'd you go?
Well, we'll try another
one. Hello!
Oh, there's a caller.
Turn off my radio. How you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Good morning.
Good. Hey, my German Shepherd, I called him George, he told me this morning that... he thinks we ought to continue invading Iraq and possibly go into Iran.
Well, that's what you get for naming him George.
Yeah, he tells me every day he thinks we're doing a good job and we got a great president.
Well, what can you do?
And he supports corporate America, too.
What are you feeding this dog?
What's that?
What are you feeding this dog?
I don't know. I got the food from KBOO.
I think he's feeding him Republic Bites.
There you go.
I think the food's outdated.
Yeah, my cat's name is Chaney.
Poor kitty. That's animal abuse. To name your cat Chaney.
We're wondering if Chaney goes for the quails or not.
My apologies, you know, though, to anybody whose name is Chaney. You know, it's not your fault.
Let's go ahead.
Chaney is not
take
a very
another
nice
caller.
Guy.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hello. Good morning.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. I have a question about my cat, Hazel.
Mm-hmm.
We have one of those connections, really, really deep connection. And a couple of weeks ago, we were hanging out in my kitchen, and I looked down at her, and all of a sudden I noticed one of her eyeballs, the pupil had been totally dilated, and the other eye was okay, working okay. And I questioned it. I mean, I put a flashlight in her eye. I tried touching her eyes to see if it would change what had happened, and I don't know what had happened to her. She got a little irritated about it, was like sitting hunched up on the floor and her tail was wagging back and forth like, you know, she was slightly irritated about what had happened, but I don't know why that happened to her. And I was wondering if you knew, did she jump too hard or did she get bit by a spider or how that happened to her eyeball? But then within that night, it went back to normal again and she's been fine since.
Well, she said it was internal and she said your poking around irritated her more.
Uh-huh.
And your attention to it bothered her more. She said it was something internal that she's not concerned about it, and it came and it went. And, you know, animals, it's interesting. I don't think she's sick. That's not my sense. But
right,
they do not worry about death and dying the way we do. They worry about who they leave behind. They worry about their animal friends. But I don't think she thinks much of it.
Oh, good, because I did call my vet, and he said that it might have been a neurological thing or perhaps a stroke.
That's what I was thinking.
But then when I told her that she was only 7, he didn't think it was a stroke, but that I could bring her in and have her. He said he didn't really know what he would do.
Well, he said, the cat said it's nothing to worry about, and it was for just for a brief second, and there was no pain.
Oh, good, because it looked really strange.
I guess. That would be kind of weird.
Yeah, I called her screwball eyes. But I did have one more question about her then, is that she travels with me a lot. About every week I have a place out in the gorge and she goes with me. And though she loves being out there because it's just rural, woodsy kind of land, and she's big as otherwise.
You're starting to break up. We can't really make out what you're saying.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There, that's better.
Okay. So in the traveling, when I go to take her to put her in her giant crate and put her in the truck with me, she runs and hides. And though she doesn't put up a big fuss, she seems like she would rather me not be putting her in the crate. But then once we get out there, she loves it. So what can I do to make her more comfortable and not feel so uneasy when she knows that the time is coming that I'm going to take her and put her in the crate and put her in the truck?
Well, I don't think it's I think you can pad the crate, but I'm going to tell you what she said.
Okay.
She says sometimes you're a lousy driver.
Ah, really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, So I don't know whether it's bumpy, but it's not the crate. It's what's going to happen in the crate. So maybe
okay.
Drive a little more carefully.
All right. That's excellent.
Even though, you know, bumpy roads would be unpleasant for a cat, probably.
Yeah. I mean, the crate is, she can sit and stretch and, you know, be very relaxed in there. It's very roomy. But, yeah, I thought maybe she didn't, it felt unnormal to her to be driving. Like, this was not a normal thing for a cat to be going 60 miles an hour or a person.
Well, you know, sometimes I think cats don't like those big crates. I think sometimes a really small, compact one where they won't get thrown around if you go over a bump, they might like it better. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I would get it very comfortable, really cushy in there.
Cushy, yeah.
Yeah, and then, she has a sheepskin that she lays on. And then this week, when I was coming home, I also put a blanket in there. And she did seem to like the blanket because she ruffled it up a little bit with her paws and then sat with it all, you know, bunched up.
You might watch how you accelerate and then use the... The gas pedal,
cruise
control or the brakes, because it may be the way you handle that more than the turns is jolting to her.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thanks very much for your call.
And I'm enjoying the show. Thank you.
I think we can squeeze in one more person.
I think we can. Next caller, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hi there.
Hi. It's easy for us to think that when we're surrounded by our pets, our cats and dogs, that, you know, that we've always had them around, and a lot of people don't realize that not everyone in the past, dogs were domesticated, you know, first before cats. Cats took a lot longer to domesticate, and in a lot of areas in Eastern Europe, in Anatolia, Old Turkey, Thrace, Bulgaria, and Crete, you don't see pottery or paintings of cats. What you do see are snakes. Snakes are what people use to control mice in the temples and in their homes. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I just find it interesting that, you know, snakes were used in, you know, they seem to be associated with goddess worship. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people... I find it sad that, you know, people always kind of tend to look down on snakes. And when, you know, I read the passage of the Bible with, you know Eve and, you know, the snake, it kind of makes you wonder, you know, why are snakes bad?
Well, in the same way that people don't respect rats in some countries, you know, I think it's India, I'm not sure. They eat out of the bowl with the food. They recognize their intelligence.
They have a temple completely devoted to rats. I saw it on TV. It's very interesting.
And so, you know, you're right.
Ani's making an interesting face.
I love snakes.
I know it sounds weird, but I was at a friend's house and she had found like a baby grass snake, and I was like holding it watching TV, and as it was like coiled around my wrist and its head was like in between my thumb and my forefinger, and I was just kind of, you know, petting it, and it was just really calm. It was like I remembered something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something really old.
Yeah.
So, well, thank you.
I just want to leave you with that.
Thanks very much.
Yes, I too am a snake admirer, and I've carried them in my pocket before for a while when they were cold.
And I think a lot of our society's attitudes around snakes, ew, snakes creepy, snakes bad. You know, it is a lot of the Judeo-Christian damage.
Just like black cats. Do we think we have time for one more caller?
I think we can squeeze one more.
Super
in right
quick
now.
Caller. Caller, you're on the air. Hello, caller. You're on the air. Hello, caller? Hello?
Yeah. Hi. Hi there.
You just have about a minute.
I have a very quick question, and it's a very odd question.
Okay. Go right ahead.
What is the opinion about selling purebred dogs?
Well, that's complicated. It depends upon who you ask. Are people arrested with...
Well, I'm asking your two for your personal opinion.
Okay.
Assuming a reputable breeder who is kind to the animal.
Like, do the dogs care? Is that
the
angle?
Yeah, do the dogs care that they're being sold? Do the parents of the dogs care that they're being, their puppies are being sold? It doesn't seem quite right to
me. I will tell you my experience that animals grieve even years later. They miss their siblings and their parents, even if they're in a home. I've seen four dogs in a home with a lot of love, a lot of attention, a lot of adventures, and they still miss the parent. I've seen animals sulk when they're separated, so there is, and then particularly when you transport thousands of miles, I think that's really rough on the animal.
Well, I do have to say, though, that I've had a bitch who had litters before, and I kept one of the puppies, and she hated him. And he loved her, but she hated him. And when I finally got him a new home, she was a happy camper. Sort of like, okay, you're 18, kid. Get out. Go on. Move out. I don't want to see you anymore.
Well, I think that's just some don't want to have have puppies. But I think there is that. You know.
She just wanted him to go. She
so
liked
it's more
him.
It's on
fine
the individual.
I think it is.
It's
it was fine
until
he was
dog.
Weaned, and then it was time for him to go out into the world and leave her be, you know.
They don't all grieve. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Though I have to say, the dog that I've had for 10 years, I think maybe is starting to get over the fact that I separated her from her father. You know, it's a really individual thing.
They do go through a process.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your call.
Thank you. Good day.
And that's the last call we'll be able to take. We're nearly out of time today.
Faye, thank you so much for joining us.
So I wanted to ask you, Faye, before we go, do you do private consultations for people who are seeking information about their pet?
I do in person, email, and phone, and they can reach me. The website is inner-design.net. And the number is 503-221-2123, so they have some choices. And I do business and personal consultations. I do most of my work on the phone.
Well, I want to thank you very much
thank
for being
you.
Here.
Had a great time.
And everybody thank out you. There, have a wonderful Beltane, a wonderful season, and keep on being positively revolting.
Remember, the struggle continues. If you can't make it to the rally in March on Monday, do be listening all day long. In fact, you know, make it to the rally in March on Monday and listen all day long, 7 to 9 p.m., 7 in the morning, all the way through 9 p.m., amazing radio here on your community radio station, honoring worker struggle, immigrant rights.
Well, wait a minute, how am I supposed to do that?
Set sail to the KWU Board of Directors meeting this Saturday, April 29th at 10 a.m.
You won't be needing any doubloons either. Bring your favorite parrot and walk the plank along with other volunteers, listeners, staff, and members.
That's right, Lassie. The KWU Board of Directors meeting isn't for the faint of heart.
There's plenty of pillaging, intrigue, sharks, and barracudas in those dark, murky waters. So don't be a landlubber. Be part of the crew.
Raise your anchor and set sail to the KWU Board of Directors meeting this Saturday, April 29th at 10 a.m.
That's right. Point your compass toward 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, one half block south of Burnside.
Good morning. You're tuned to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM. Welcome to the Friday Radio Zine. Here's the lineup for programming this morning. First, Anne Huntwork, of the School of the Americas Watch will talk about the state of the campaign to close the school and the upcoming Portland visit by Father Roy Bourgeois. At 9:30, Parafoggering interviews Michael Newman of Trent University about the Israel lobby and U.S. foreign policy. A controversial article published this month. We'll also hear a short interview with Rodney Bender of the local nonprofit Growing Gardens about their current activities. At 10, hear a lecture by Ruth Messenger of the American Jewish World Service. She'll speak on stopping genocide in Darfur. We'll also have an update on this weekend's rally to save Darfur. At 11 on Democracy Now!, hear a debate on the issue of peak oil with Julian Darley of the Post Carbon Institute and Michael Lynch of the Strategic Energy and Economic Research. And we'll hear a response from the Reverend Jesse Jackson about comments made by incoming press secretary, former Fox News commentator Tony Snow. And don't forget that on Monday, May Day, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of immigrants are expected to stage a work strike and take part in a one-day economic boycott on Monday to protest anti-immigrant legislation being considered by Congress. KABU and other community radio stations around the country will present a day of programs on human rights and immigrants. That's from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Monday. Now we go to Per Fogering and his guest, Anne Huntwork.